Hello, sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Monday, February 15th, 2010, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That would be me.
Is there nothing sacred? Have we lost our moral center? It just makes me want to pee on someone.
I feel the same way most of the time. However, holy cow, it's another milestone, sex fans. This week's show marks my third anniversary of podcasting. I know, isn't it great? I mean, who'd have guessed that we would have had such a long run? And what a year it's been, too. I launched two podcast series last year, the Sex Edge-Education series and the Sex Wisdom series, both of which appear on Wednesdays. The Erotic Mind podcast series, which is nearly 2 years old, mind you, continues to share Mondays with my traditional Q&A podcasts like today's show.
I guess I'm going to have to clean up your mess after all.
You know what? You're going to have to be nice to me today because it's my freaking anniversary. And, of course, I have a very hot load of oh-so-stimulating questions to start year number 4 off with a bang. And I have the feeling that a few close friends will drop by to say howdy. But before we get to our festivities, a word from our sponsor. This week's special anniversary podcast is once again brought to you by my friends at EdenFantasy.com, the one-stop place to shop for the very best in adult products. You'll find a full line of top-quality toys, fetish kits, and sexy lingerie at Eden Fantasies. But that's not what makes our sponsors so damn special. What makes them so extraordinary is their social conscience. And that, my friends, makes all the difference in the world to a sex-positive guy like me. The Eden Fantasy site is chock-full of tips for the conscientious consumer, practical user guides, toy reviews, and their wonderful community blog, EdenCafe.com. And you simply must check out Eden Cafe, sex fans. It's so fun and sexy, irreverent and cheeky, but it's also exceptionally informative. Look for the Eden Fantasies banner right there on the sidebar of DrDicksSexAdvice.com, and you can link through to Eden Cafe from there.
I've been hearing, but I haven't been listening.
And I need to stop being a frenemy and be your real BFF.
You two are amazing. Listen, before we begin today's delightful show, I'd like to remind you of the toll-free, lickety-split, sex advice, podcast, voicemail hotline at 866-422-5680. Got a question or a comment? Want to rant or rave for a bit? Or maybe you just want to talk dirty for a minute or two? Why not get it off your chest and give Dr. Dick a call at 866-422-5680. No need to be shy, my friends, because this is voicemail. No human is going to answer your call, least of all me. And besides, calling the hotline will almost guarantee you a place in one of my podcasts. Okay, on with the show. So speaking of voicemail, let's go there first.
Hey, I was wondering if I were to suck some guy's dick and swallow his nut and he used some meth, would I come up dirty on a drug test?
Sure, it's possible, but not overly likely. Like I always say, we are what we eat, or in your case, what we consume. You can be assured that there are trace amounts of unmetabolized drugs, pharmaceuticals as well as recreational kind, in cum. This is not much of a concern for jizz lappers like you, as it is for piss drinkers, but you oughtn't fool yourself into thinking that there is no residue. If you consider that a guy can alter the taste of his cum with his diet, and that this can have an effect in as little as 20 minutes, you'll understand how quickly unmetabolized drugs can work through a person's system. I assume you know that alcohol, drugs, nicotine, and junk food will make a guy's spooge taste bitter. And lots of fruits and greens in his diet will make his cum taste sweeter. Fruit juices like pineapple, citrus, and cranberry are also known to make jizz taste sweeter. In fact, the higher the natural sugar content of the fruit, melon, mango, apple, or grape, the sweeter the spooge. Likewise, vegetables like parsley and celery will sweeten things up. And here's something that you ought to know. If the spunk that you taste is all acrid tasting, like the way most meth users' skin smells, I'm going to guess that you're getting a little dose yourself. Finally, I'd personally not want to risk testing dirty for a drug test just because I swallowed a meth head's pop. Good luck.
Hello, this is erotica author and Dr. Dick fan, Jeremy Edwards. And Dr. Dick, I hear you and the podcast are having a little anniversary, so I wanted to wish you both the best. I hope you'll be taking the podcast out for dinner, and maybe you and the podcast might want to check into a hotel and just make the most of the night. So happy anniversary to you both.
Thanks, Jeremy. In fact, if I take my podcast out for dinner and to a hotel or a no-tell motel, you know I'm going to take some of your hot erotica with me. All right, moving right along. Next we hear from Terry. She's 24 and she writes from North Dakota. I'm having a problem with knowing when I am feeling an orgasm. I feel like I have to fake it around my husband because I am unsure. Sometimes when I'm alone, I just feel like I have to go to the bathroom, so I stop myself. And then other times I feel like my legs are paralyzed, but that's it. I don't ever feel like I'm sexually stimulated, just tired. Any ideas as to what I am doing wrong? Or what might be causing this? I'm going to go way out on a limb here, Terry, and guess that you are what we in the business call pre-orgasmic. My experience tells me that if you were actually orgasmic, you'd know it. All the symptoms you list feel like you're about to go to the bathroom, feel like your legs are paralyzed, or just plain exhausted, don't sound orgasmic to me. I can't actually say I know what you are doing wrong, if anything. You don't really go into detail on how you pleasure yourself, but I will hazard a guess as to what is causing this, and that would be inadequate stimulation to your pleasure centers. Even in this day and age where sexually laden messages abound in the popular culture, there are still women, even young women like you, who are unversed about orgasms in general and how they can go about getting one for themselves in particular. Orgasms don't always come easy for some women, and in fact, I suppose that there are many reasons for this as there are pre-orgasmic women. A woman's pleasure center, her clit, is more subtle and less obvious than a man's raging boner. Women are socialized differently about sexuality, even nowadays, and men have more cultural permissions to be sexually adventuresome than do women. And if the truth be told, us men's, we don't need no stinking permission to get ourselves off ever. The basic formula for achieving an orgasm is acquainting yourself with your pussy. Map out all the points of interest. Find out what feels good and repeat it. The more you know about this marvelous part of you, the better you're going to be at slamming yourself a screaming Mimi when it comes time. Knowing your way around your pussy is also going to be helpful in partnered sex, especially if your partners are men. Okay, here's the kind of regimen I'd put you on if you were one of my clients. The first part of this exercise is called a self-sexological exam. Get a hand mirror. and find a really detailed diagram of female genitalia on the internet. You might want to print this out. Using the diagram as a guide, work at familiarizing yourself and making friends with your pussy. Once you're certain you know all the parts, I want you to do a detailed touch test. I want you to touch for sensitivity every square inch of your body from your asshole to your navel. I want you to draw pictures of your own cunt and surrounding area, and then color them to represent the levels of sensitivity, red for being the hottest and most pleasurable areas, to blue being more neutral, and all the colors in between. I encourage you to try this exercise with both a wet hand and a dry hand, and I suggest a nice personal lubricant for the wet hand exploration. I want you to spend 30 minutes a day for 3 consecutive days on this home play. You have a whole lot of reacquainting to do, don't you know? And this is private time. Your husband is not invited. The next step in your home play will include a vibrator, and if you don't already have one, shop for one. There are plenty of suggestions for vibes on my product review site, drdicksextoyreviews.com. Now, using the pictures that you've created of your genitals in part one of this exercise, I want you to kickstart that vibrator, throw it into first gear, and start making lazy little circles around the blue areas on your body and work your way to the bright red ones. Do this privately for 30 minutes, for 3 consecutive days, or until there's a breakthrough. The next step is masturbation. You may have tried this before without success, and that's okay. This time, however, you'll be better informed about the hot spots of your koozie that you've learned in step one. And I'm a big fan of full-body masturbation, so while you're diddling yourself, spread the sexual energy all over your body. Tits, ass, feet, mouth, whatever. Varying your technique, stroke, pinch, pat, massage, and rub yourself all over. Vary your breathing, too. Gyrate your hips. Listen to sexy music. Rent some porn. Watch yourself in the mirror or throw in some Kegel exercises. Try it with a wet hand. Play with yourself in the bath. Hell, dance around naked with a jewel in your navel, whatever it takes. Many women experience their first orgasm with the help of a vibrator. I encourage you to be adventuresome and experiment with one, too. Try a dildo or another sex toy. Be sure to keep a journal during this exploratory period. This will help you later to bridge the gap in communicating what you've newly found out about your body with your husband. Finally, Terry, I want to turn you on to a fantastic website called Clitical.com. That's Clitical.com. This is the one-stop shop for all things relating to female sexuality. Oh, and you'll find a link to Clitical.com right there on DrDickSexAdvice.com. Good luck.
Hey, Dr. Dick. This is Sexist Contributing Editrix Judy Cole. I just wanted to congratulate you on your 3rd anniversary of disseminating outstanding sex advice to those in need. You are forthright, you are funny, and you are unflinching in your beliefs. And I have to say, as a former editor of Playgirl, I've seen a lot of dicks in my day, but you are one of the few who truly thinks with his bigger head. So keep up the good work. Keep the good work up. Happy anniversary and many, many more. I'd say keep it coming, but I think I've already used up my quota of bad puns. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Judy. And that is high praise coming from you. I love working for Sexist, and you make my stuff even look better. So thank you. I appreciate it. Next, we hear from Mariah, who happens to be a male, and he is aged 23. He writes, I've been doing a lot of cross-dressing, secretly, and I have no idea how to stop. I've been going on for quite a number of years, and I'm not sure exactly what I should do. I enjoy a lot of other things that I won't mention. I guess my question is, how long does it take to get over this? Mariah, darling, I'm confused. You've been secretly cross-dressing for a number of years now, and you want to stop? Why? Sounds to me like you're still into it. A lot! And when you tantalize me with, I enjoy a lot of other things that I won't mention, what's up with that? So, okay, you're a kinky little transvestite. That's no big deal. Cross-dressing is a relatively innocuous fetish as far as fetishes go. And if you've been doing it for years, albeit secretly, I'd guess that you have your fetish under control. It doesn't sound like it's messing with or spilling over into the rest of your life, so again, my question is, why stop? If you're just bored with it, which doesn't sound like the case, pack up your frilly knickers and dancer heels and drop them off at a used clothing store. If you don't have women's clothing around the house, you won't be able to cross-dress, so that part is relatively simple. However, getting over a fetish is not so easy as ridding yourself of the frocks. They're probably a psychological and an erotic hook in the cross-dressing, as there is for most folks who do drag. After all, this is what makes the whole exercise a turn-on and so much fun. You can learn to wean yourself off of this activity if you really, really, really want to, but again, my question is, why? If you feel your cross-dressing is screwing up your life or contaminating your relationships, that's another thing. But you don't say that. Maybe you just need some assistance in understanding what's going on with you and some support from others like you. And that, my dear Mariah, is very easy to come by. First, let me direct you to a couple of brilliant podcast interviews I did with two cross-dressers last year, Deborah Christina Darling and the toast of the Emerald City, Sylvia O'Stay for More. To find these podcasts, use the search function in the sidebar of my site, drdicksexadvice.com, type in cross-dressing, and faster than you can say Lane Bryant, you'll be taken to these podcast listings. These interviews are chock full of information about cross-dressing, the do's and don'ts, as well as the whys. I've also supplied a short list of online resources for cross-dressers, drag queens, transvestites, and transsexuals. Don't miss this. Good luck.
Dr. Dick, Scott Daddy here from the Leatherbound podcast. I'm so glad you got past the terrible twos and are now celebrating your third anniversary. So congratulations on this milestone, and thank you for not only answering questions that so many of us have about fucking and relationships and sex toys, but for giving voice to overtly sexual artists with your Erotic Mind series, and to sexual deviants like myself with your Sex Education series. I was honored to be among the first of your interviews for that series, which I think is so important in sharing what kink and leather and power exchange means to those of us who practice it and to those of us who perfect it. Wink, wink. So your podcast is a great forum to folks who are on the outside of the mainstream to communicate their vision of the world and how we relate to each other and celebrate the gift of our sexuality. So please know that I celebrate with you on your success and wish you another year or three of wonderful successes. Cheers.
Oh, shucks, Scott Daddy. Thank you very much. I appreciate those kind words. And especially coming from you because you're a podcaster yourself, so you know how difficult this is. It sounds effortless, but it really isn't, is it? But we love doing it because it's a labor of love. Speaking of which, let's move on to another correspondent. This fellow's name is Miguel. We don't know how old he is or where he writes from, but he says, "Hey, how are you? Happy New Year 2010. My problem is sexual dysfunction. I can have a hard-on and keep it for penetration, but if I have to use a condom, I lose my erection most of the time. I also take too much time to come. Most of the time I lose my erection and I can't finish what I've started. I would like to find a solution for this because I have been like this for a long time and it really is frustrating for me. I do appreciate your help and look forward to hear from you. Thanks, Miguel. Sounds to me like you're racing to the finish line, my friend. Where's the rush? You may be experiencing a bit of performance anxiety, but I don't know if it's a full-blown sexual dysfunction quite yet. I invite you to go to my site, drdicksexadvice.com, and look for the category pull-down menu in the sidebar. Scroll down until you find the category sex therapy. Under that category, you will find a subcategory labeled performance anxiety. There, you will find loads of information about this issue in both written and podcast form. Here's an example of the kind of stuff that you'll find. Simply put, there is a difference between the psychosexual response that we have when we are alone and the one we have with a partner. There's probably nothing wrong with your unit, it's all in your head, or your mind, to be more exact. And I'm not just being flippant. Here's how performance anxiety works. Say I have a less than satisfying sexual experience for one reason or another. Before I know it, I'm replaying the incident over and over in my mind's eye until that's all I can think about. The proverbial molehill has become a mountain, don't you know? I bring my anxiety to my next encounter, my hyper-self consciousness primes me for more disappointment, and I'm all prepared to interpret this disappointment as failure. Well, you can see where I'm going with this, huh? My fears become self-fulfilling, and I find I'm beginning to avoid partnered sex, and my relationship flounders. I develop a full-blown sexual dysfunction, and my self-esteem takes a nosedive. My preoccupation with my problem makes it less likely that I'll be fully present during sex with my partner, which pretty much scuttles my sexual responsiveness and any hope of spontaneity. This is especially true when it comes to adding a condom to sex play. Here's what I suggest. Get thee to a sex-positive therapist as soon as possible. Believe me, this is nothing to fool around with. When I see this sort of thing in my private practice, I always begin the therapeutic intervention by calling a moratorium on fucking of any kind. This immediately takes a great deal of pressure off the couple. From there, we begin to rebuild the partner's psychosexual response one step at a time. We begin with sensate focus training, stress reduction, and relaxation exercises. And if you don't know what all of those things entail, go to my website, drdicksexadvice.com, and do a search in the search field in the sidebar of that site. I have the greatest confidence in this method. It succeeds over 90% of the time. Good luck!
Hi, this is Emerald, and I am calling to wish Dr. Dick a very happy 3-year anniversary of his podcast, and much love to everybody out there listening to the fantastic work he's doing.
Thanks, darling. I appreciate it. And you know, one of the reasons that these podcasts are so successful is not just because of me. It's because I have wonderful guests like you, Emerald, to come and open their erotic mind and charm the pants off all of us. Thank you. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline number you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Next, we hear from Andrew, who's 34, and he lives in Texas. He writes, I'm selfish. I don't feel like having sex with anyone, not even my boyfriend. I can masturbate all I want and get off just fine, but I prefer to do it alone. My boyfriend is frustrated and wants me to go to therapy, but I'm extremely uncomfortable with the idea. I've had selfish times like this before, but this one has been the longest, almost 2 years. Usually, they last a few months, at most, and seem to have happened independent of whether I'm doing great or depressed. I'm also fairly certain that it isn't to do with my current relationship. The reason is that past selfishness times have happened whether or not I've been seeing someone. When I get this way, even guys who are perfectly my type, like my boyfriend, can try all they want to get into my pants, literally and figuratively, and will not be successful. When I'm like this, I notice that I barely think about sex unless a dirty picture, movie, or text is in front of me, and I'm only trying to get away when a hot guy is trying to get into my pants. I'm usually good at finding out what's going on in my head, then solving an issue, but this one has me stumped. So, Andrew, you're telling me that you've been withholding sex from your long-suffering boyfriend for nearly 2 years? That's not selfish, my friend. That's torture. Your refusal to see a therapist about this because you are extremely uncomfortable with the idea also tells me that your issues are deep-seated and you'd rather keep these things hidden and stifle your relationship rather than get them out in the open and resolved. I'm sorry, Andrew, but I have virtually no patience for folks like you. If you were single and you wanted to live your life like this, that would be perfectly fine. But you've involved your sexually messed up self with another human who has needs that are just as important as yours. And that, sir, isn't right. I have one simple premise that I live by. And that is, each and every one of us has a right to a happy, healthy, and integrated sex life. If there's something that's getting in the way of achieving that, whatever it might be, it's a problem that needs to be addressed immediately. As far as relationships go, I am of the mind that we ought, first and foremost, work to honor our commitments of mutual support. Are there ways that these two moral principles, the right to a healthy sex life and one of relationship commitments, can coexist when one's relationship excludes the possibility of a happy sexual expression? Yes, I believe there are, and many couples achieve that balance because they have an overriding love and concern for one another. Now, the facts. Not all loving relationships have a sexual component. Many, for one reason or another, simply don't. In fact, most long-term relationships are not sexual in nature. However, a partner in a loving relationship who is unable to provide sexual satisfaction to his or her partner should give that partner permission to find sexual satisfaction and fulfillment outside of the relationship. I hasten to add that these are often very difficult negotiations to hammer out, but to do less than try to make these accommodations is, I believe, a form of sexual abuse. If your partner is trying to negotiate a satisfactory solution to your problem and you are opposed to even discussing the issue or seeking the professional help you so desperately need, you will destroy a perfectly good and viable relationship. And that is unconscionable in my book. I'm not suggesting that you deny your sexual issues, just to appease or pacify your partner, nor do I condone simply letting your selfishness become the path of the least resistance. These options will only create a divide between you and your partner that will never be bridged. If you ever hope to escape the corner that you've painted yourself into, you have to buck up and be honest with your partner and commit to getting the help that you need. Good luck.
Hey, Dr. Dick, happy third-year anniversary. I just looked it up, and unbelievably, but the third anniversary traditional gift is leather. Well, I'm pretty sure you have enough leather already, so I'll just send my well wishes instead. Happy third anniversary. Much love. Rob Rosen.
Thanks for your well wishes. I appreciate it. But always send leather, because you know what? You never can have too much. Finally, we have this from a 20-year-old woman in Boston who doesn't bother to give her name. She writes, "Do men get boners if they are penetrated in the butt?" Yeah, some men do. Lots of men play with their assholes while they're jerking off. This may include a finger or three, a dildo, a butt plug, a gerbil. Oh, just kidding about the gerbil. Men, folks, do this because it is pleasurable. And when we are pleasured by ourselves or with a partner, we will show how much we enjoy what's going on by sporting some mighty fine wood. Thanks for writing in, dear.
Hi there, Dr. Dick. It is Carrie Ann from over at Eden Cafe. A little birdie told me that coming up this week is your third anniversary for your podcast, and I just wanted to call in and say happy anniversary and keep up the naughty and nice good work. Happy anniversary. Bye.
Thanks, Carrie Ann. You're such a sweetheart, and you know what a big fan I am of your work at Eden Cafe. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week for more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. And again, I want to thank all my friends for calling in with their anniversary greetings. You guys are the best. Remember, this week's podcast sponsor is Eden Fantasies. EdenFantasies.com provides you a unique opportunity to shop and educate yourself about the amazing array of adult products out there. Of course, they always uphold a high standard of quality in the toys they carry, but they are even more focused on customer service and consumer education, which means Eden Fantasies, to my mind, is one of the very best places to shop on the net. I also want to turn your attention to Eden Fantasy's brilliant e-magazine called Sex Is. You'll find tantalizing articles and informed opinions on sex, society, health, erotica, and humor. You'll even find ways to green your sex life. And just in case you don't get a big enough dose of Dr. Dick here on DrDickSexAdvice.com, you'll find that I have an occasional column at Sex Is, too. It's called Dr. Dick on Demand. Look for the Sex Is banner in the sidebar of my site.
Is SpongeBob SquarePants supposed to be terrifying?
I don't know about supposed to be, but it sure scared the shit out of me. One final thing. I want to take a moment to invite you to check out my product review site, DrDickSexToyReviews.com. That's right, sex fans. Now you can see what's hot and what's not in adult products. You'll find reviews of all sorts of adult goodies. Sex toys for sure, but also condoms, lubes, fetish gear, as well as educational and enrichment videos. Don't miss a single one. Again, the address is DrDickSexToyReviews.com. And look for all of my podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section, obviously. And once there, all you have to do is search for Dr. Dick Sex Advice. And don't forget to subscribe. I wouldn't want you to miss even one episode. And hey, feel free to leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.